Speaking on this program is Doris Hughes.
Spoke about God's plan of salvation and how few Christians could give the plan of salvation. This morning and in the Sundays following, we'd like to simply preach upon each one of them. This morning, the hearers are hearing the Word of God. As we look to the New Testament, we find that in these Scriptures it's given to us God's plan of salvation. And the plan of salvation is God's plan for saving men and women for boys and girls. In other words, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The plan of salvation, it consists of hearing the Word of God. It includes believing the Word of God. It tells us of the necessity of one's repentance, of one's sin, repent of their sins. It tells us, we're told about confessing the name of Christ before man, and then we're informed. It leads us from our confession to that of baptism. These things are needed for our souls to be saved. And like I said, I thought it'd just be good to have a series of lessons on these five steps and simply obeying the gospel. Now, some of you that are Christians, you might be thinking, well, these are first principles, obeying the gospel. And we know all of these. And that may be very true, but you might be surprised as to how many members of the church cannot tell you in order what the steps of becoming a Christian are. And many of these people have been in the church for many, many years. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, we're told to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you. Now, if someone were to ask you, why are you a member of the Lord's church? Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Could you tell them? If someone were to ask you where and what are the steps to obeying the gospel, could you tell them the chapter and the verses? Now, I'd be willing to say, if you asked every member of the Lord's church, that less than 10% of them could not give you chapters and verses to God's plan of salvation. And for that reason, we thought it'd just be appropriate for lessons like this. It's just a plain, simple lesson on hearing, believing, repenting, confessing one's faith in Christ, and being baptized. Now, as Peter said, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Now, if someone asks you to give an account as why you're a Christian, then we ought to be able to do this, shouldn't we? An obligation like this, it involves then a sufficient acquaintance with this book, with the Word of God. It said that a long time ago in Athens, Greece, that every citizen was expected to keep themselves informed in the civic affairs so as to be able to participate in any discussion of such. And it's just as true as Christians that we should. We should be equally informed in the things of God and be ready to present them if we're asked. Hearing the Word of God, the hearers. As was read a few moments ago in Acts 28, verses 23 through 29. The aim of such a lesson like this is to show the necessity of the right attitude of one as they understand God's Word. Now, when Christ gave the Great Commission, He gave orders. And He gave commandments and given these orders. In Acts, the first chapter, in the second verse, Luke talks about the commandments that were presented to the apostles. In Luke 1 and 2, he says, in talking about Christ, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. Now, the Great Commission, the commandment that Luke speaks about in Acts 1 and verse 2, we just read here, this imposes upon God's people the responsibility, each one of us, you and me, to teach and to preach God's truth. You say you can't preach, you can't teach. Well, you can sometimes on one-on-one. Maybe not public in the pulpit. But let me read you this responsibility is to give to us from Christ. And I want to read it to you, the account that Matthew, Mark, and Luke tells us about. Given in the Great Commission, and you know this, in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. Christ, where it says, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, that all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, as Mark gives this account of Christ in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Luke, in speaking on the same matter, he said, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, Christ in His teaching, He emphasized, if you notice, that people are to be taught. And in being taught, a person hears the message. They hear the message of someone else. When Christ said, go and teach or go and preach, it stands that people are to hear. That's an illustration. In school, a teacher teach their pupils. And the teacher is qualified by education to be a teacher. That's their responsibility. And for a 6 weeks period, that teacher does a lot of talking before the pupils. When the end of the 6 weeks is up, usually there's a test that's given. And the pupil has had a lot of teaching put before them. And it's their responsibility to take the test. It's to their advantage whether or not that they have listened to the things that have been taught in order to make the passing grade. In other words, the hearer has a responsibility. Now, in like manner, when the gospel is preached, the teacher or the preacher of the gospel has a responsibility of giving the message as God has given that which will save the souls of those that hear. As a preacher or the teacher has a responsibility, so does the person that hears, the ones that's listening. As Christ said in Mark 16, and verses 15 and 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now the latter part of this verse shows us something. It shows that the hearer has to act, or the hearer has to obey in order to be saved. Just like the pupil that we talked about in school a few moments ago. Now a lot of people have little respect or concern for the Word of God. They don't respect this great book. And our attitude toward things in this life, it has a great bearing on how well that we fare and how that we get along in this world. And it's just as true when the gospel is preached to people, whether or not the ones that hear, whether or not they believe, depends on the attitude that they have toward the truth of God's Word. In John 7 and 17, Christ there gives us a promise. He says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be God, or whether I speak of myself. Now, the great hindrance of so many people knowing the truth is that they don't desire the truth. And when they do know it, then they won't live by it, and they won't, as we say, they won't walk by it. In Romans, the first chapter and the 18th verse, we find that the wrath of God is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, what is God telling us here? And He's simply saying that men and women, boys and girls, they must love the truth. You know, there's no more dangerous condition for a person to get themselves in for to know the truth and then they refuse to obey the truth. To do this, you know what happens? It hardens the heart. It makes condemnation sure. If a man at heart desires to do the whole will of God, then God's will in the fullness will be open to him that he may do it. Now, as a plan of salvation, as it involves hearing, and the thought of our lesson today is hear the Word of God or hearers. As James, the Lord's brother, he saw what was involved in being a hearer of God's Word. He says in James 1 and verse 22, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Now, James is saying you exhibit yourselves as doers of the Word. Now, James here is directing our attention to the fact that it's not sufficient. It's not enough merely to just hear. Not that only. But one has to be obedient to those things that are taught. A person is not simply to keep on hearing the Word of God or keep on receiving the message, but it must express itself in action in a person's life in order to bless and in order to save their soul. And sad to see it, but there in every congregation, those who attend services regularly, who would make very faithful Christians, and they listen well and they listen good, but they never profit by the word that's preached. Neither do they translate into life the things that are heard. And I say this in love for the souls of each person. Now, many people regard hearing the Word of God as, well, that's all that's necessary. And they don't feel any obligation to carry that any further than just hearing it. But you know, our Lord showed just how unwise such an assumption as this was. You remember that Christ said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then he goes on, everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not. For he says it was founded upon the rock. And then it says, and every one that heareth these words of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man, who built his house upon the sand. And it says, the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Now, in this biblical illustration, Jesus himself is stressing the importance, notice, the importance of hearing. But the real blessings are to those who follow up from hearing by obeying. Now, Apostle Paul, he spoke on this very same subject. In Romans, the 2nd chapter, and verse 13, he says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law, he says, shall be justified. And nothing gives more comfort than to read of the many, many times that Christ pronounced blessings on those who followed his teaching. Now, some 9 times, as Christ began his Sermon on the Mount, he declared those who are blessed. And in the book of Luke, he continues to speak of those who hear and of those who obey the truth that's heard. He says, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. You know, through this part of the country, through this part of Tennessee and other parts, there used to be known as the Bible Belt of the Nation. And the reason that it was called this, it was called so many, they knew the Bible from front to back. But the mere fact that one can just quote certain scriptures, that does not assure salvation. But instead, the Bible must be believed. It must be obeyed to produce a spiritual life. Remember that John said, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and he says, the truth's not in him. Now, if you notice, this implies hearing God's word. And it implies going further into obeying God's word. Now, as an illustration, if we go to a medical doctor, and we listen very well, and we listen real good to what he's going to tell us, all of his instructions, but we never take his treatment. Now, we can't hope to profit much from the suggestions that he's given us, can we? As we consider the importance of hearing the Word of God, you know, a long time ago, in the days of Isaiah, the people, they were just a people that were determined to have their own gods. In the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter, verse 18, we read that they have not known nor understand, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. You see here, it wasn't God's idea that these people wouldn't listen to him. Now, God from the beginning was a very gracious God. He'd been with these people, with the Israelites, through all the conflicts that was a person could imagine. But they wanted their own way instead of the way of God. They had shut, as it says, they shut their eyes, they turned their hearts away from God, and their own hard heart had produced their deception. Hundreds of years later, we see the same thing happening. In Matthew 13 and verses 14 and 15, notice, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, their ears, he says, are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time, he said, that they should see with their eyes, should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now here in the days of Christ, these hearers close their eyes, they close their ears. You see, these people that Christ is talking about, they had hardened their own hearts. They had closed their own eyes. They had refused to exercise their powers of understanding because they just simply did not want to know the truth. Now, the responsibility, it just rested upon them in their present condition. They couldn't blame the law. They couldn't blame God or anybody else. They were just wholly responsible themselves. And by then, of course, showing such an attitude, they were not saved. As we look back again to the Old Testament, in the days of Noah, I think of this often. As Peter tells Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness, and Noah is thought to have been preparing the ark for some 120 years. And no doubt that Noah tried time after time to get these people to listen, trying to get them to hear so that they might change their evil ways, that they might turn to God. But what happened? Only Noah and his family were saved. out of the multitude of probably thousands of people, thousands upon thousands, only Noah and his family would hear and heed to his message. You know, it's important that we bring people to church every time that we can, that they might hear the Word of God, that they might obey the Word of God, that they can become Christians. Again, as we look in Matthew, the 13th chapter, we see Christ here, he's teaching on the parable of the sower. And you remember how he tells of the different types of soil and the sower there, and how they lodged and how they were, in other words, how they were planted. And then on the last, he speaks of the good ground or the good soil. Now, the good soil or the good ground, that's a person with a good and an honest heart. As Christ says, that they hear and they understand. You know, the problem, it's not with the truth, but it's the attitude of those that hear, the hearer. As Romans 1 and verse 16 tells us, there is power in the gospel of Christ. But for the gospel to do its work, then we as hearers, we have to receive it, invitation of Christ. In John the 7th chapter and verse 17, we read, if a man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether that it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Now what is Christ really telling us here? And he is simply saying, if one is willing to do God's will, then he'll know what God's will is. And it's just as true if a person is determined not to do what God requires, but rather what that individual himself wants to do, then God will let that person believe a lie. As we find, just as the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, in verses 10 through 12. As Christ says, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now you have heard today. You've heard the Word of God. And as you continue and hearing, there's a need, as the Bible speaks, of believing. There's a need to repent of our sins. There's a need to confess the name of Christ before men. We find examples of those as they became Christians, that they were baptized for the remission of their sins. They became Christians.